This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Negatron alert! Steve Bruce technical deficiency warning! Deploy like Bundlehore! Deploy like Bundlehore! All is forgiven!
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
This season, a lot like having a really big shit. You start off hoping it's going to be over and you'll forget all about it, you'll not even remember it. But then after a while, you realise you're sitting there, you're bored and you're in a lot of pain.
G'day and welcome back to Jednax Jangle. Crikey, the Prides clashed on Sunday Ava. Then again, there was never any doubt about who would come out on top. Struth, Gabby, that alpha male strikes again. I'm tempted to give you a pash if you don't mind a bit of beard. But good on you, mate, but where the bloody hell have you been all this season? But we deep-rooted those blue noses. You could say we caught them while they were red-napping. What a load of drongos. Our reward. Brewskis. Unlimited sheilas. Pray to the god of beards for us, will ya?
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me this week, and we are very privileged because it's the chairman of the Gabby of Bundlehore Appreciation Club, Dan Rogers.
Don't out me. Not live.
Oh shit, shouldn't
there's
I
been
have
some
said
mistake.
That?
It's like the Oscars. It's not true.
So, who's laughing now?
Not us. He's back. Return of the King, Gabriel, Bruce Almighty. It's just... Who could have predicted that? I think I had every combination of bets going, apart from Gabby Agbonlahore, first goal scorer, Villa 1-0. Wow.
I would have put it 1-0, but I had a funny feeling Grealish was going to get it, but he didn't. He wasn't there today, was he?
Did you go to A&E for that bump on the head that you suffered midweek? Is that...
Before we go on, if you have any ideas or suggestions for the podcast, don't forget to drop us a line on Twitter at Aston Villa Pod. And who knows, you may inspire genius. Like, there's a new character that you may have noticed at the start of the show, and he'll be popping up here and there across all future podcasts. Derived from somebody calling me Negatron.
Negatron!
Nega, as in negative. Well, I was just stating a bit of reality and reality and fact, but those things, some people just can't compute. But Negatron, very good.
I can work with that material. Keep
we'll,
it
we'll
coming.
We'll take that. Keep it coming. Thanks for that.
And no royalties for you.
Yeah, no royalties for Negatron.
He's ours. All ours.
So, Villa win the Second City Derby. with just one shot on target.
What better statistic do you need?
Don't waste energy on them, that's what I say. if it takes one shot, just that's it, take it.
100% strike rate. We are like a Tomahawk missile.
Just 100% efficiency. And that shot was by Gabby Obong Lahore, as we alluded to earlier on, who on Sunday night, was controversially pipped to the post by Kante for the PFA Players Player of the Year Award. I mean, were they not watching? Were they? Oh, it wasn't on Sky, was it?
No.
I think there's a reason for that. I think Sky had obviously done their homework on both teams and decided it wasn't really going to be box office viewing.
It was a pulsating match of kicking the ball aimlessly up and down the pitch.
So, did you enjoy the game, Dan?
You don't enjoy these things. You wake up on Derby morning, you know, you iron your lucky pants, you flick through your 19,000 season ordered Villa shirts before deciding, no, I will not wear colours so that I can run if I am chased. And then you arrive, and then that sickly feeling when you realise that this is a big deal, isn't it, in Birmingham, that we have to win this game, and we're depending upon Aston Villa to come good for us, So we're all there, all 40,000 of us going, it'll be all right. And then we remember.
Yeah, no, I thought that. I thought, right, this is going to be the game where Villa just, like, go for it, get lifted up by the crowd, who were pretty amazing.
Well-oiled.
And then you just realise, actually, no, if they can't even get up for this game, then, we're in trouble here.
I felt sorry for someone a little bit more than, I suppose, the rest of us. That's Scott Hogan, because he was more of a spectator than the rest of us. He was up there sort of waving his arms frantically. Remember me.
This is where I prove to all these fans that I'm a £15 million striker.
Please pass to me.
Yeah, I did actually comment to the guy I was sitting next to, I think it was around the 40th minute mark, has he touched the ball yet? And I don't think
probably
he
not.
Had. I mean, not his. I mean, I watched him, and, you know, he was making these runs, and you can see he's trying to do the right thing, but as we alluded to in the last podcast, these guys really aren't on the same frequency.
I didn't get it. The first half was, I mean, looking across our midfield,
and just to interject there, we're just talking about the bit before Gabby came on. Yeah. We'll get that out of the way first.
The bit that you've spent countless thousands wiping from your minds through expensive therapy, that we just need to cover that off. What? Yeah. It was like we didn't have a creative urgency about us for the first half. Well, I'd say good hour really until the switch was made.
Well, when was it Adams, their player, when he missed that kind of sit? I mean, it's a good chance. I'm not going to call it. It wasn't a sitter. It was about 8 yards out, but he...
I'd have scored it.
Yeah, you'd have scored it, we all know.
Overhead kick.
But I think if that goes in, then the game gets interesting, but I don't think that would have even opened Villa up, even then. No. I don't think they would have come bombing forward.
I think it was a sign of how poor Blues were, that better teams punish you for that. That's the one that it doesn't even get rocketed and it just hits the back of the net no matter what, doesn't it? A quality footballer takes that opportunity. That was about it for the Blues, wasn't it? That, you know, that they were lofting the ball around. And
later on, I mean, they forced one save out of Sam Johnson. That was their shot on target.
Yeah, that was the one that sort of struck across him. It was quite a low save for him. Yeah. I mean, I'd describe that as straightforward, perhaps, I think. In goalkeeping terms. I mean, we can talk any length, really, about Blues. I thought that they were really... I think they're in real trouble, genuinely.
Yeah, I do. I mean, they put a lot of effort in today. I mean, you can't really fault them running around. And,
no.
Well, I mean, same with Villa. I thought Villa's defence was good. But it's as soon as that out ball goes out from the defence where it all falls apart. I mean, they can stop these championship teams as long as they're concentrating. And obviously today was a game for that. I mean, I thought Taylor was good, especially in the first half. Two centre-backs are good. Jedinak did his normal job. Hutton did his normal job. But you saw it in the second half. Hutton got the ball, ran down the right wing, you know, just sprinted and out-sprinted one of their defenders. It was like 30 yards, and that lifts the crowd. And it's just a shame we haven't got wingers that can do that, like as in the old days, like Tony Morley and Tony Daly, and we just need another Tony.
Are you suggesting that Alan Hutton is this season's Adama Traore, going on those bursts of exciting...
Well, yeah, no, that's the thing. Also, there's no end product, but for kind of a different reason. But
I don't blame Hutton for that, by the way.
No, but what I'm saying now, that's he's the only one who kind of gets people off their feet because he's the only one who endeavours to venture forward.
Yeah, players these days seem so reluctant to carry the ball because it's not just bursting forward. Hutton's got a clever knack of taking the ball 10 or 15 and then cutting in 5 yards.
Yeah.
It changes the whole outlook. It stops the game being... Some players, they almost play in their zone and they don't leave it, do they?
Exactly. It's the only way you break in the opponent's defensive shape as well, is you've got to go at them and, you know, pull them out of position, commit their men, you know, go past them. Then that's when the space opens up and opportunity knocks. Grealish, I thought, was very lackluster today. I thought that was a real missed opportunity for him.
Yeah, lackluster would be the word I would use. Totally anonymous in the second half, and I think that's why he got hooked. I thought he slowed the game down too much for me in the first half. In the second half, I wasn't surprised at all to see him go.
The irony is it was Gabby that came on for him. You would normally think, well, keep the local boys on.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little surprise when he came off, but then you just thought, well, actually, he doesn't deserve to stay on.
No, I've already had a couple of comments on the blog about this. What did he contribute? And you know, you can't just keep persevering because you take the name away and you just watch what that player has brought to the table. Well, not a fat lot, really.
Yeah, take the hype away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Negatron alert, Grealish is all hype. Grealish is all hype. Priority, sell or loan to Middlesbrough. Sell or loan to Middlesbrough.
I mean, in terms of our creative people, let's say if it's Grealish, Adomar, Bakuna, I mean, there's no wonder poor old Hogan was, starving to death up there, because there's nothing dynamic from any of those three.
No, I thought Adoma was particularly poor today. And
not anonymous again.
He's someone that's sat in front of us, you know, he said he's a classic 1-in-6 player. Is that going to be good enough for next season? I'm not sure.
I mean, the funny thing is he's actually second in the assist charts in the championship behind Hourihane, who obviously got all his at Barnsley, or most of them.
Yeah, I mean, stats don't lie, do they? But as we've said before, statistics aren't everything. Sometimes it's what you actually see with your own eyes. And again, he was another one who went off today, who there are a number of times across, thinking more towards the first half, where the ball reached him and nothing happened. And you sort of go, you know, there was plenty of those moments with him. Just jumping across to Bakuna, broken record time for me. We know what he's good at, which is he runs around a lot, he tries hard. Quality and end product again, isn't it, from Leandro? Yeah. You know, there's a couple of times, I think there was like an interplay with Jedinak in the second half, where it was such a simple return ball that he took, but his control was so bad that he lost possession into the middle of the pitch. I don't know if you recall. And it was, you know, again, better teams seize upon that. And before we knew it, ordinarily before we would know it, teams are bearing down on your centre-half, and I can think of countless times actually in our relegation season that we would gift possession away in that way. You just think these players, particularly Pacuna, you know, do they not learn anything?
I think he's one to be shipped out, to be honest. But my surprise was, and it's kind of a surprise, but it's no surprise considering the last few games, but Conor Hourihane, I thought, I mean, Bakuna wasn't exactly being played out wide, so... why not play Hourihane instead?
Yeah, he's been benched recently, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's been benched down to poor form. But, I mean, as I had this conversation at half-time with somebody, he's top of the assists. And we're all salivating when we scored that free kick he scored against Leeds for Barnsley before he came. Again, is he just another player that is good until he gets to Villa and then we drain him of any exuberance?
I don't know how this is a thing, but...
But that was a game for him today, really.
I thought the telling moment was when Bruce opted to bring Gardner on instead of him. I thought that was the moment that my head turned and I thought, what's at play there? Because perhaps it is form. I mean, I saw his performance, his debut for Ireland, and frankly... It was a stinker, you know. He was at fault for the goal and stuff like that. You know, it's not a step up because he hasn't moved divisions, but it's maybe a step up in terms of expectation.
When I had that meeting with Bruce as that part of that fan consultation group, this was in January when obviously the players were coming in the window, and of all the players that he was kind of raving about and spent the most time talking about, Hourihane was the man to solve our deficiency at scoring at set plays, the man to, you know, add a bit of spark going forward in midfield, and that hasn't happened. But is it because of him, or is it just like a lot of these players, like Hogan, McCormack,
Lansbury as well for me,
who are just not performing? Because I don't think they're playing in a system that really potentially allows them to play.
I think it's just that. Hourihane particularly, his, you know, it's like when we're on that particularly bad run when we were also missing Jedinak, we anchored Houlihan and Lansbury in front of the defence. Well, that's not what, you know, from what success they've had in their careers or what's given them this ascendancy that's drawn our attention. Well, that's not why we bought them.
Because Lansbury's just looked lost in the last few games.
Lansbury's, I think he's still anchored too deep and, you know, there's definitely team orders there. You know, again, when I was looking at the ratings for the game today, I don't think you can criticise his work rate. You know, his everything went through him. You know, he put the cross in the corner in for the goal, but there's none of this. I think it's across the whole team. Sense of urgency and a bit of dynamism. You know, the thing that we saw when he played us at Villa Park for Forest, where he absolutely drove the midfield.
Yeah, you don't see any Villa players in midfield with the ball driving at the opposition through the middle.
No.
Nobody's picking it up and, you know, upping the tempo and putting them on the back foot.
I think we need to unshackle players, don't you? That was my surprise in the first half, particularly watching how, because I think Blues were surprised at how underwhelming we perhaps were, particularly the first 10 minutes. I was thinking, surely we could have stuck Jednak in there to hoover up and be the physical presence. But surely Houlihan and Lansbury released into the middle third, pushing on Blues' final third. Surely that would have, you know, brought some returns, even chances for Hogan, you know. And I thought...
Now, I was surprised that Houlihan didn't start for that purpose. Like, there's no Codger today. Let's try something different. And one of the reasons we have Houlihan is to do something in that final third. Harry Redknapp, summing up the game, said, "You can't say Villa were good. If that's the best they can do, Steve's clearly got a lot of work to do." Mm. But, you know, he has got a point. But from what we've watched, it's a derby, and, you know, derbies get gritty and form goes out the window and a lot of teams play crap. But this is how we've been playing. There wasn't much difference to every game I've probably seen this season, apart from generating a few more chances in the odd game.
I think it's difficult to judge solely on today.
Well, Steve Bruce said it was the worst game of the season.
I think I've had lower moments than today, definitely across this season.
Yeah.
I think the frustration today was the lack of, I'm not going to say the word passion, I don't, you know, it's not something I necessarily think brings a great deal.
Well, I mean, let's talk about Gabby. When he came on, I think that's what he instilled into the team, and it lifted the crowd probably double in terms of volume. It had a much wilder effect than I actually anticipated.
It still hasn't sunk in, because I'm not sure how to process what's happened today, because I think it was a reflection on how the game was sort of meandering along, and then he, you know, the mere fact of him stripping off on the bench to come on.
It reminded me of when Huddersfield brought that sub on, that wild lion man.
Yes, he still
had exactly, I wish I could remember his name. Yeah, he was German, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and he scored. Wasn't that the one that Galeni booted off in off the arse?
Yeah. But the way he came on and he went over to the away fans and gestured to them to kind of, you know, he got them going and he got the whole team going, and that's pretty much what Gabby did.
You can't fault what Gabby did, and what he does do in these games, he does brilliantly well, because he came on and that first tackle, but within 2 minutes of that, he was wrestling the centre half in the court. You know, real wind up, and there was no doubt that particularly...
wound up the away fans as well.
Wound up the away fans. But the Blues defence didn't know what to do with him. You know, your Robinsons and the like have seen it all before.
Yeah.
But you can be damn sure that the rest of them were looking at Gabby thinking, what is going on here? Because he was an absolute nightmare for them.
Speaking of Robinson, I didn't see it during the game. It was only in, obviously, the highlights after, where he punched and kicked at the same time Chester after Gabby's goal. What do you think is going to happen there? Do you think... a lot of people are tagging in the Football League and the FA saying, check this out.
I love how people are calling them grasses. You fucking grass.
Well, that's... I thought that. I mean, I just put it out there and I thought, shall I tag in the... And I said, nah, I'm not a grass.
Yeah, well, it has successfully broken my Twitter account. So
I'm not a social media grass.
I was just putting it out there, people. But I hope Paul Robinson doesn't know where I live.
Well, he looks about 55, so you won't have any problems running away from him.
That's one other thing today. Hey, we couldn't get around him.
Well, yeah.
Come on. I mean, I don't want to dwell on that too much, but the guy's 30, is he 38? And he looks 38, every bit 38. And, you know, just going back to the punch and kick on Chester, I mean, that one, it's completely unacceptable, but two, I think it shows the level of frustration that he had in that moment, because if you've just been done over by Agbon Lahore, who's had torn hamstrings and hasn't scored for 9 years, you know, it's... a big deal. So, unsavory, that was.
Yeah, no, it was. It was a bit. I understand like pushing stuff like that, but that was like a kick and a
kick and a punch. That's like X holding down X and O at the same time, and like that's like a special move, isn't it? To do both things at the same.
In terms of Gabby. Do you think this is like Christmas and Halloween? He just comes out just for this game? Or Bruce actually mentioned before this game that he has a role to play next season. Can you see it?
I don't know. Just before we move on, I have to mention the person who posted the image of Gabby, a mummified person, and the tagline that he was being put back in his tomb until next derby season. I thought that was fantastic.
Putting back up in the loft.
I've seen a few variations of it, but either way, it works well.
Mr. Hazza, who's a regular listener. That's why he's got a sense of humour.
Well, you have to. You have to follow in this football club.
But
Gabby's future.
But Gabby's future.
Well, if this was the learner era, Tom Fox would now be parading him in an open-top Chevrolet around Birmingham after having awarded him keys to the city, a 10-year deal. And we'd all be happy with that, I presume. But I don't know what... He's not the future, is he?
No.
Surely not. Tell me he's not.
Going back a few years, I mean, I never saw him as a finished article as a striker because for some reason he can't strike a ball properly. You know, it would always come off his shin or toe or whatever. I mean, it, you know, sometimes go in. But he wasn't a clean finisher. But I always thought there's a role for him. He's a good player to have, you know, as a squad member because you can bring him on. Some games you start him, like, I mean, Manchester United, for example, used to be, you know, even Vidic would be not terrified of him, but he would be, you know, have issues with him. And he, you know, he was something that, like...
Lots of people have got issues with him.
A good defence would know they're in for a bit of a game against them.
Are you coming round to Gabby? Is that what
No.
Sensing? So, yeah, you need to clarify. Be very clear.
I'm putting the foundations in here to wherever I'm going with this, and I don't know at the moment. The brain is still ticking.
Negatron alert! Eggbound Lahore is a false idol. Do not worship him! Do not worship him!
So I always thought there was a reason, but he was never a starter for me. I always pegged back Villa's potential ambition. I mean, playing him as like the lone striker under Martin O'Neill years for a period was a reason why we were not in the Champions League places. If we had a 20-goal striker playing with that midfield and defence, we would probably have made it.
That's why we bought Marlon Haywood.
I mean, as Bruce said, you know, he came in at 8:30, it must be the derby this week, kind of summed up, it's what he didn't say that said more than what he actually did say, or what he was actually implying. And even Dr. Tony tweeted it, saying, you know, if only he could be up for it all the time.
You lazy shite.
I mean, if he got anywhere near, in terms of speed and power, then there could be a role, but he would need the team to support him. He was only effective playing for Villa because he had better players around him and he could contribute. Yeah. Like, Ashley Young was on the same kind of wavelength. And they were both fast, so they could keep up with each other and actually play between each other. And it's, you know, it's a tough one, but at the moment it's just Codger. But for me, it's not about whatever players. Gabby's a better player if Villa are playing a system where we actually attack. Codger's a better player. Hogan's a 10 times a better player if we're playing a system that actually creates chances for him. I think it's more about the manager than the players at the moment.
Where do I sit on this? I think
he has to stay in the squad, obviously, because he's on so much money that nobody's going to buy him. And, you know, the practicality is that he's probably going to be hanging around till his contract runs out. Thanks, Tom Fox, for that.
You'd probably be like that guy who was on the pitch at half-time who, you know, been awarded, well, who'd reached, was it 700 years as a Villa season ticket holder?
I missed that. I was getting a beer.
And he was, you could see on the screen, he was just mouthing, "Release me, release." Whilst he was awarded a lifetime chained to his seat. But anyway, less of that. Less about the halftime entertainment of Villa Park.
I mean, in terms of the future of Gabby, there's one thing. There's a level of Villa supporters who, as long as Villa beat Blues and Gabby scores, that's them made up. That's their, you know, they're like pigs in shit with that. No offence against pigs. But you know what I mean, it's that kind of simplistic thing. So Gabby, they're not really interested in, you know, tactics or the way we play or blah blah blah. I don't know, that goal could have set us back 5 years. But at the same time, I still think it's up to Bruce to get them playing. It's not really, you know, if Gabby's not going to turn this around on his own, you know, however he plays.
He's not, but I was thinking about this on the way back. If Gabby performed like that, or even 50% of how he played performed against the Blues, I think most Villa fans would not only tolerate, but would say, you bring something, you're an option, today it meant everything to him, for me. And it takes a lot for me to say that, but I could see that. And that's what, when you think about, the obvious one that people refer to is that joke of a performance that he put in at Spurs when he barely touched the ball and kept week after week after week of insipid showing, he was just turning up, basically. Yeah. Out of shape, out of form, disinterested. And then you can contrast it to those great singular moments across other derbies. And, for me, the ship has sailed, I'm not going to say I don't trust him, but...
Yeah.
What's different, and is he the future? No, I think we need to be forging a new Aston Villa, and he may be a part of it for whilst he's still under contract, but beyond that, nah.
Hopefully, that experience against the Blues would have maybe reinvigorated him. And
I hope it has.
Made him remember what's good about being loved by the Villa faithful, rather than just being a figure of fun, and, just down to your own lack of motivation and laziness.
Today could be the start of the final chapter, if you want,
Yeah, the last hurrah.
The last hurrah. But putting myself in his shoes, from where he's come, because his stock could not have been lower at our football club, could it? Particularly across, the scandals at the back end of last season and the grossly overweight and all the things I just mentioned.
Yeah.
To get back to where he is this evening after having beaten Blues, astonishing. That's an astonishing comeback. But what you've now got to do is you have got to turn up at the meaningless game at Blackburn and put in a show in and bust your gut in pre-season, because I...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think it even more after today. I thought, maybe we'll go out and buy two or three players in the summer. Nah, I think that there's going to be a major six, seven players bought here, because...
Why?
I don't think we've got nearly enough, and I think we'll buy. I've thought it more over the last two or three weeks.
But we can't spend that same amount of money. I mean, we are wasting money.
Well, we've wasted money. We talked about McCormack in the last pod.
Negatron alert. McCormack update. Dubious cyst detected on asset. Dubious cyst detected on asset. Exterminate contract. Exterminate contract.
I was sitting there thinking, not necessarily the players on the pitch, but it was our lack of options off it. And, we haven't got a confirmed goalkeeper at the club. I think we need at least another striker. We've got no options beyond the obvious ones, have we? And we can't, if Jednak was to get injured or be away on international duty, our entire game plan's ballsed up. We haven't got a plan B or a straight swap. So those are just, in a nutshell, where I see. And I can see that becoming a... I'm not saying that we'll be six additional players in the squad, but I do think we can see... You may see 3, 4, 5 go and similar come back in.
If you missed the last episode... Give it a listen, because you'll find out what happens to teams that don't bounce straight back when they finish bottom of the Premier League. It's like quicksand.
Stats are not good. Stats are not good.
It's not.
We need to get out, people. That's.
It's gonna keep you up at night.
No.
But I mentioned on that episode about Sunderland, the only team ever in the history of the Premier League since it was formed. To get relegated bottom, not bounce back, and get up within 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and they were buying players around, the 2-1 million mark. I mean, obviously we're talking over 10 years ago inflation, but, today's value, we're talking about players around 4-5 million. They're not buying over the 10 million mark. And we've taken punts on some... We've paid over the odds because a lot of people know we're coming. We've got a new owner, we've got a bit of cash. And we've had our pants pulled down a few times, but
Isn't it ironic that Sunderland will be joining us next season?
Yep, and they're pretty good at getting out this league under strange circumstances. I mean, we talk about, oh, it's going to take two seasons because we got relegated on 17 points. Well, they got relegated on 15 points, got a new owner, didn't even have the proper manager when they started the season, and they managed to win the championship
With Roy Keane,
as we keep mentioning. And so they're... I mean, for some reason, you know, you talk about Leeds, Sheffield Wednesday, Forest getting stuck. I always thought Sunderland was just a team that would get stuck in the championship.
Mm.
They always managed to come back up.
Hey, let's talk Leeds. They've dropped out of the playoff spots.
Just briefly,
because don't their fans get like all their money back for season tickets?
Yeah, no, that's the fun bit. I think they get a 25% reduction. Or I think it's triggered. There's two levels. I think one is a 15%, and if they got over 18,000 season ticket holders, which I don't know if they had or not, then it goes up to 25% off. But you can hear more about Leeds in Dan's Leeds United podcast. Let's get back to the game, Dan.
Villa game, yeah?
Yeah, Ugo tribute I thought was very good today. I think we always handle the tributes very well. I mean, there's always fans out there who will get banners made and thought it was a good one today. It was a double one. There was a second round of applause on, obviously, 44 minutes his age.
Mm.
It added to the occasion as well.
Bit of poignancy. Sort of a defender in, you know, the formative years of me watching the Villa, really, that easy to, you know, there have been so many good tributes made and, you know, clearly a very talented footballer.
Wait, I wouldn't call him a talented footballer. I would say he's a talented defender.
Okay, I'll meet you there.
The funny thing about him was when he started out, it was kind of part of the legacy of Villa not having right backs. He's, I think it was 91 under Ron Atkinson. First season under Ron Atkinson, there was like injury problem, and he played a handful of games at right back. Now you look at him, he was
very similar to Alan Hunt.
But, you know, like six, I don't know how he's 6'3" very. Awkward 12, on the ball, and it's a bit like Mel Berg and Carlos Queiroz playing right back defensively. You're okay at corners and set pieces because you've got that extra height, but going forward, I mean, even Earl Barrett was a converted centre back.
Yeah, he was.
So Hutton actually, in terms of going forward, is actually a cut above some of the people playing right. I was going to say right backs, but people playing right back. But no, Ugo, I was there for that Norwich game, which was bordering on a joke of a performance, where every pass he made out of defence ended up at a play, apart from one, which ended up at Ray Houghton's feet, and he scored from that, so it was an assist.
It's the infamous debut.
Well, it's not his debut. This is like a great urban myth. On Facebook, we, you know, put a picture up of Ugo, and we were, you know, talking about it, and about 10, 12 people mentioned, oh, the infamous debut. Oh, I was there at his debut against Norwich, blah, blah, blah. And I was asked to write something for a newspaper on him. And I checked the Bible, the complete history, just to, you know, you got to check your facts when you're a good journalist. I was checking my facts and I thought, hang on a minute. He's played about 14, 15 times before his debut.
Is this real? I didn't know this.
Yes. After that Norwich game, he was left out the side until the kind of back end of the next season, when Paul McGraw was either missing or injured, and that's when he started to play regularly. He was filling in, and he played most of the last part of, I think it was the season we won the League Cup. Paul McGraw came back just when it was important, like the final. I think I'll turn up for that game. But yeah, but he played, I think his first game ever was against Arsenal. I think that was at right back, and a few other appearances there. Then he made the odd one at centre back when there was an injury. And then he played that Norwich game, and that was enough for Ron to kind of put him on ice for a while. So I wrote this article knowing all this information, but for some reason when I was writing it, I wrote that it was his debut, then realised and then asked the paper to change it. Just because so many people had said it was his debut, I actually brainwashed myself, even though I knew it wasn't. But it was weird. I was like, is Aston Villa complete history? Has he got it wrong? They've been talking about Ekiog as if he's been playing for a couple of seasons before he made his debut.
But that's fact you're telling me.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it wasn't his debut. It's an urban myth.
Well, spread the word, people.
Another urban myth is Villa won the European Cup. That's not actually true. Sorry to disappoint you.
What? Nigel Riococca didn't captain us to the...
No, that's the Peace Cup you're talking about.
No. Oh.
God, can you imagine waking up in the morning and Aston Villa didn't win the European Cup in 1982? Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck.
All of my winning retorts online would be...
Oh, God, yeah. You would feel like a half-man, if you're a man anyway, in the first place. You'd feel like a half-man.
Have you won the European Cup? No, you haven't.
It's like a badge of existence. You have to have won the European Cup. Actually, when it comes to social media, being a fan of a team that's won the European Cup is kind of a good security blanket to throw on a many fire.
I think I might start wearing a star on all, you know, everything I wear. I might just... All my badges and... Yeah.
Anyway, back to the game. Good standard of pitch invaders, I thought. I mean, there wasn't just one. There was loads. Was that three, four?
I think it was good of all the local pubs to open at 8 o'clock in the morning to enable all of the runners to be sufficiently, you know, fueled. It was London Marathon Day, so yeah. in the spirit. The gentleman who came on... half-dressed, he was particularly... I like how he said, well, you know, I'm going to keep my joggers on, but no, I'm going skins on top.
Well, there's this irony that have the game at 12. There's two reasons. Yeah, one is so fans don't have time to drink enough. So what happens? The pubs open earlier. So the other one is not to have so much build-up. So it tempers down the expectation and the hype because you haven't had a whole day for it to build up, which I don't think that really affects that much because as soon as you wake up, you're kind of up for it, aren't you?
Yeah, I was about to say, I think, how can I put this? There were plenty of people who were casualties, not of any altercation with the opposition, but had succumbed to drink. My vision walking to the ground was the guy who was desperately trying to decant a half litre of vodka into a Coke bottle that was, you know, still half full, and he was trying to do the measures. It was it wasn't working out for him, put it that way.
I was pretty impressed by the standard of sliding tackles and rugby tackles by the stewards. I don't know if they've got like a special ops branch in the stewarding setup there, but it was a standard above what you normally. I mean, it turns into a Benny Hill sketch normally, but this time, apart from a few decent shimmies, they got taken down pretty swiftly.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that Neil Taylor coordinates the amateur tackling group that's now formed at the football club
amongst the stewards. So all in, good atmosphere. I think it was pretty good.
It was good, yeah, it was good.
Hi-ho, Silver Lining played at the start, yeah. Just to warm people up. That worked a treat, really.
Yeah, it's good. Oh, I thought the atmosphere was really good. And drink or no drink, I think people were up for it, really, weren't they?
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's been a season where ultimately it's run away from us and Blues aren't in good shape. And yeah, I mean, getting 40,000 people together like that. And it's been a while at Villa Park, really, where, you know, you think back over, there hasn't been many occasions like that.
I think the last one was probably the West Brom FA Cup game.
Yeah, you're probably right, to be honest.
Where you've actually got the lower Holt standing for starters throughout the whole game.
Well, you know, we've got to think of our knees.
It kind of was a bit like a cup final, wasn't it? Like the Birmingham Cup final.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's great, and that's the one thing. If they do go down, you know, half of me would be, you know, would miss the derbies, but half of me, on the other hand, would think, well, that's what you bloody get for messing around with Rowett.
Do you think the Blues will go down? They've got Huddersfield at home. I think that's the key game. Bristol away. Mm. Bristol are safe, so Blues could win that.
Perilous, particularly because we're going to be sending 11 clowns to Blackburn Rovers. So the first team squad will be going.
I think Blackburn to have any chance of staying up, and well, Blues to have any chance of going down, Blackburn have to beat Villa, I think. They've got Brentford away. I mean, that could go any which way because Brentford haven't had anything to play for a long time, but they can beat anybody on their day.
I think that's the risk for Blues, is it really just depend on what team's appetite is to put up a fight. I think the real
I think it depends on the Villa game. I think it's Blues' destiny is in Villa's hands.
Well, that's what I mean, though, because Blackburn have got an interest in the game, and we, you know, I'm not convinced that we have. You know, I wanted this end of season to be a bit of a trajectory into next, but with the way that Fulham and Reading went, I think that's, you know, it's a bit of a question mark around on the beach there. And I wonder what, you know, Bruce might want to look at some peripheral figures. I wouldn't be so shocked to see a Hepburn Murphy no, I think, turn out there, really.
I think, yeah, now is the time to...
Bit of experimentation.
No Villa fan would have any complaints. There's no fucking point to even playing the last two games, to be perfectly honest. So you might as well go for it. And if a byproduct... I mean, the Blues, the destiny is in their own hands. Our result doesn't really matter if they win one of their remaining games. But the thing about Blackburn is they've got a bit of resilience. I mean, they've not lost in 10 of their last 13 games. So their tail is still potentially wagging, while Blues, are, I mean, Blues, how many? They've won two games in about 500 or something like that.
Well, they showed nothing today, and they didn't look like a team that I thought, oh, well, if they're going to get out of it, oh, that guy's going to be the one that drags them kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a manager in who openly was sitting in the press conference saying he knew nothing about them, hadn't seen anything of them.
Well, exactly.
You know?
And
he couldn't name the guy who was... I heard his post-match interview. He couldn't name the other injured striker in their squad.
Redknapp can pick up $250,000 just through Villa beating Blackburn. It's almost like he's...
crazy, isn't it?
It's almost like he's lumped on Villa to beat Blackburn, and he's just sitting there, and if it comes off, then he gets $250,000 without actually doing anything. You, I, or any of the listeners could be managing Blues now for three games, and he doesn't have to do fuck all, and he's got a good chance of getting $250,000.
Well, they could stay up by the skin here, couldn't they?
Football's fucking crazy.
It is crazy. It would be hilarious if they managed to get relegated, though, as well.
Yeah, for the owners, I think it's just desserts, really.
I completely agree.
Right, so I don't think we can say anything more about this game, can we?
No, our mantle, our rightful position as lord and owner of the entire of the Birmingham area has been reinforced once again.
Amen to that.
Amen, brother.
And all you people out there, spread the word on the podcast. We're not long to the end of the season, so we have to decide, do we continue into the new season? And although we get a lot of listeners, to justify it, we really need more. So tell friends that probably need their Aston Villa lives improving with a little bit more laughter, maybe a little bit more cynicism, I don't know. So spread the word. Also, get on the Patreon bandwagon. I'm going to be dishing out a Ron Saunders book and three £20 vouchers this week. So get involved there. Go to the website, check out Patreon. Sorry, myoldmansaid.com, and find out all the details there. It just can cost $1 a month, and that's it, which is about 80p.
Sweet.
Sign up there, join the Brotherhood. And until next time, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said.
We just beat one of the worst teams in the division 1-0 from one shot on target. Of course, it's, you know, local derby, but we've already milked that as, you know, quite highly. But these pitches as if they're from the Wembley dressing room when we beat Liverpool, doing the same. I think that's not.
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed with that. Our social media is a bit. Oh, yeah, that
was
it.
Well, there's actually a Blues fan that works. They employed a Blues fan, which is kind of ironic. You just get a generic experience, and you don't get somebody who kind of understands the kind of nuances and the tone.
If it's a Blues fan, they definitely don't understand proper. You know, he can barely, I imagine, get his hooves onto the keyboard to put together in another emoji. More emojis, more emojis.
More emojis, more emojis.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.